members who we know they're on their way, and a couple of people who would be giving us very valuable feedback and inputs. If they don't arrive, I will look for them proactively and maybe invite them later to the closed session just to do that briefly. So, good morning, everybody. I'm sorry to speak to people who are behind me. You are all invited to sit at the table. It's a lot more comfortable, and it makes me a lot less uncomfortable because although I was taught that angels have no back, I'm not sure I'm there. That's what I mean. Los ángeles no tienen espalda. So this is the session for interaction with the community for the Stability, Security, and Resilience Review Team mandated under the Affirmation of Commitments. We will make a brief presentation of progress to date. You will be able to see what the report is beginning to look like. We'll highlight what are the main points in it. And we are keen to hear from you. We'll also find out whether, along the session, whether we have people in the remote bridge. We have a very brief presentation. This was created by Simon McCalla, and you will see that it was directed to the CCNSO, and we have kept it unchanged because the report is the same. It's a report open out to the community. Next slide. Briefly, as you know, this group, this review team, is one of the four review teams mandated by the Affirmation of Commitments. On ICANN. This is a very important change, and we're trying to follow up on it very responsibly. The group was formed in September 2010, met for the first time in December 2010, so really our work started in earnest early 2011. Costa Rica here is our fifth face-to-face meeting, and last time in the meeting in Dakar, we held joint meetings with several groups, including the CCNSO, a group from the GNSO Council, the GAC, and a few others. At that time, we were working on draft recommendations, struggling with participation, which has continued to be an issue, and promised a first draft report by Costa Rica, and I'm glad to tell you that I believe that we will have that out this evening, very likely. We have converged on around 35 recommendations. We're still working into streamlining them, so that they are of a reasonable scale, not too small or too detailed, or if they are general, too vague. And we have performed analysis that led to these recommendations. I mean, we didn't just create recommendations out of thin air. What we are doing now is to write down this analysis, have it referenced to sources when possible, and keeping it coherent with the recommendations, making sure that the presentation really leads logically to the recommendations. We have a full top-to-down text draft report, which is still a bit patchy in style and wording, but it's complete now. And we have been locked behind doors for endless hours this week, mostly a core drafting team, but we have also made sure that subject matter expertise or community expertise from different communities has been present in the room for many hours from inside the team. So, like, we've spent specific sessions dealing with the root server operation, with the staff security levels, and so forth. The next one, please. What we can see emerging now from our findings is that there's good work being done in ICANN in improving. Remember that we are not. Well, let me take one step back here before going into this, so the expectations are the right ones. We have to remind you that we are not performing an audit of how security is run inside ICANN. We were tasked by the GAC and ICANN's leadership to review what the affirmation of commitments demands, which is to review whether ICANN is fulfilling its obligations, it's under the commitments, to enhance and preserve, preserve and enhance the stability, security, and resilience of the global DNS. So we are focusing in the middle level between what would be an audit of the security operations and planning, let's say, the internal security or how the L server is run and stuff like that. And that's the lower level between which we are and the upper one. The upper one, which we're not entering, is a long-term, large-scale political level where we would be asking what's the future of ICANN in a world with vanishing or emerging superpowers and stuff like that. We found that outside our remit, and what we do think is that ICANN should have proper planning for that, proper forecasting and ability to intervene, and that's again, we are not looking whether it is there, but whether the processes and the vision are there. That's that middle layer is where we have to focus. We don't have the mandate, we don't have the expertise, and for the upper layer, we really don't have the crystal ball to review that part. So that said, we do see that. ICANN is improving the structure of its plans for stability, security, and resilience. That's a very important task in our mandate. There's continuously improving understanding within ICANN of what ICANN can control and what ICANN cannot control. In this sense, what this means in a bit more detail is that it's every day clear as this review goes on and as ICANN's work continues to go on, that there are three spheres of capacity to control events from the point of view of stability, security, and resilience. One of them is what we call the internal, where we assume ICANN has pretty much full control. That's the operations of staff. I mean, there's the way activities are controlled is there this hierarchically organized staff with pre-assigned tasks and internal policies, and ICANN can essentially decide what happens. So if ICANN decides to expand the disk space of the L root server, that happens. If they decide to set in a new firewall for that or a new IDS and so forth, that happens. That's by internal mandate. Then there's a second sphere where ICANN cannot make things happen on its own, but it has clear, structured cooperations with different organizations like those in the GNSO, members of the GAC, members of the CCNSO, and so forth, where it can exert direct influence, though it does not have a command structure anymore. It has to achieve goals by cooperation, but again, this cooperation exists by mandate. There are either contracts or a structure like a policy development process and so forth, where ICANN can have this negotiated but still clear influence, and it has a direct mandate for it. And then there's a third sphere, which is basically the rest of the world. That's where both goodwill users may be stressing the DNS, or where badwill users may be actually abusing the DNS or attacking the DNS, thus threatening the stability, security, or resilience, or all three of the global DNS. And in this space, ICANN has much slighter, subtler ways to influence events, like educating people, intervening in global policy fora in order to make sure that the say telecommunications or security and stuff are run in a way that doesn't go against the stability of the DNS. And on the other hand, since many of these actors are not only acting without ICANN's outside ICANN's control, but also in hiding, ICANN has to set in place properly its contingency planning. So whatever comes from there will be, if possible, forecast, and if not, the usual disciplines of risk management apply, from knowing what risks are there, detecting when they happen, transferring or avoiding, and so forth. So that's better and better understood, and the plans and actions and budgets and staffing are constantly being aligned in a way that we, during the study, we found has been an improvement for not trying to act on things where there's no chance to influence them, and focus good resources where ICANN can get a result. We find some good work ongoing. This doesn't mean by any means perfection, but it's good work going in the direction of adhering to the SSR remit and to the technical remit of ICANN. We found increasing good operational practices within ICANN's limited technical role, and we found good stuff like thought leadership on DNSSEC. We found room for improvement for the following issues and a few others. These are our highlights. Clarity around remit. ICANN being less and less confused, or having to enter less and less debates with the community about whether something is within ICANN's remit or not. Having a better structured security, stability, and resilience plan. Consistency of language. Seeing initiatives better structured. Having more measurable goals and objectives. As an example of this, a year and a half ago, ICANN was stating it would aim for 100% DNS uptime. And during the process of our review, we believe, with some hubris, that the review itself had some influence on this, the discussions we've been having with ICANN staff. But the thing is, that goal of 100% DNS uptime is not there anymore, because it's hard to define what's DNS, what's uptime, what's 100%. And instead, some much more realistic goals about DNS availability, component by component, are there, which are measurable, identifiable, and which are also going to be stated progressively in ways that other members of the community that actually have to contribute to that goal can know where their contribution comes and make it. There's more increasing clarity on budget. There's still a gap in identifying budget line items. We are also not going into a budget audit, but we do see a huge room for improvement here. There's a lot of the SSR budget that could be more clearly identified. And we also see some improvement, but also room for more in having structured relationships with SOs and with advisory councils that contribute to the SSR mission. Next one, please. What we see missing, what we see in serious need of work, is coordinated and targeted outreach beyond ICANN boundaries. We see that within ICANN boundaries, this is working pretty well, again, with room for improvement. Outwards, there's a lot to be done. There's $5 million in the budget, of which about half is hard to track to individual items. We're going to be recommending a lot more clarity on that. We find that there's still missing some. This is perhaps the key issue if we have to boil this down to very few. ICANN does not have what we call a strong risk management framework. This doesn't mean that ICANN flies blind in a risk management atmosphere. It means that there still isn't a comprehensive, well-structured, balanced, complete risk management framework where risks can be identified and categorized, and by looking at the risk and looking at up in the framework, you can know who has to react to them, what scale they have to take, or what scale the planning or the reaction has to be, and so forth. There are a lot of pieces of this framework existing and being used informally, especially by ICANN staff. They are spread out in the community, But the need for a structured document is there. And in fact, the board has recognized this. As you know, the ESAC was relieved from this responsibility about a year ago. A new board working group for a DNS risk management framework has been formed. It will be chartered publicly this week. Its charter will be made public. We foresee that it will be made public in the board meeting tomorrow. We don't know if it will be in the main meeting or in the consensus documents where a lot of stuff is hidden, like it was in Dakar. Don't mean hidden in a bad way, but you know, you just don't notice when you attend the board meeting that this has actually been passed. And there's also a parallel process for that, which has been the DSSA, which the board seems to be embracing well. And we see and propose some structure for the relationship between these things. And we also find that the community finds ICANN missing in a formal incident and threat notification process. This has to do, of course, with continuously identifying the existential questions of what ICANN actually allowed to do, supposed to do, and not allowed to do with the community, where there are claims for pieces of the action elsewhere or pieces of non-ICANN intervention elsewhere. But, so this needs to exist. What's next for us is we're working hard to have a draft report out by the end of the week. That means today, after 10 a.m., at the end of this public session, we will go to another room and basically not leave without a draft that we can publish. That's the task we've set us. We will open, this will go into the normal ICANN processes of having a formal comment period. There will be surely a few areas that will demand further analysis, emerging especially from these public comments. And we have the plan to have a final report that has absorbed this public comment by the Borel summer. That means by the ICANN meeting in June in Prague. We should be able to have a session like this in which we have absorbed all the community input and we're presenting what should be the final report to be delivered to the board for the further processing. So thanks for your attention up to now, and I'm glad to open the floor for questions, both from the review team members and from other members of the audience. You're really welcome to put forward questions and comments. I do beg you to identify yourself before speaking.
Of
there
course.
There may be people listening to this session remotely.
Thank you. This is Keith Drazik. I am the alternate chair of the Registry Stakeholder Group, and I just wanted to comment on the bullet point about one of the things that you wanted to try to improve for the review team, and that was the connection with some of the other groups within ICANN, the other SOs, ACs, stakeholder group, et cetera. I would just point to our past experience with the WHOIS review team as being I think a very positive framework for interaction with the registry stakeholder group, at least, and I think that extends to others as well. They've, you know, that review team has been very busy over the last year. They've had several rounds of meetings at each of the ICANN meetings in person, and that includes coming to visit the various stakeholder groups within the GNSO structure, at least, and I assume others, but. I would just point to that as a possible model for, you know, reaching out and engaging with some of the various groups by actually coming in and having, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, whatever would be appropriate, to actually sit down with the various stakeholder groups and SOs and ACs to, you know, sort of present an update and to seek input and feedback and questions. So I know Emily Taylor is the chair of the WHOIS review team, and I would suggest, you know, maybe a good opportunity just to touch base with her and, you know, get her thoughts or her perspectives on how that went. So, that's all I've got for right now. Thanks.
Thank you. We have waited to have this better draft before, you know, having some, like we felt it was important before going to very specialized groups like yours, to have a better thing to show you, a better animal that you can actually throw arrows to. We did interact with the GNSO Council as a whole previously, and we are following closely Emily's work, which we do think is a very good example.
And I would just follow up to add that, as speaking for the registry stakeholder group, we would very much welcome your participation with us. Thank you.
Other speakers? Alice, do we have someone on the remote side participation? No questions so far. Any comments from the review team members? Well, I think we're done. And very thankful for your presence. Is that okay? That was it. And thanks for that. And we do look forward to interacting with you, with registries and so forth, even not waiting for the Prague meeting. So if you have a regular teleconference, in the conference call in the middle and so forth, we would certainly do that. We hope that you will, that we will have our draft out tonight or next week, if something stops us today, some formality, and to have you read it begin sending us comments, and we'll manage to get into your between your gears. Well, thank you very much. I think we can adjourn the session.